We're going to be Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 1, and Matthew chapter 7. We're in this series on following Jesus. And we've said from the beginning that you come to Jesus to be healed. You just come to him. He loves you. He's with you. But if you want to be transformed, if you want your life to be different, then you don't just come to him. Then you have to actually follow him. It's in following him that we're transformed. And so we've been looking at what are the habits of people who follow Jesus well. Now, we're not saying fix their life. We're not saying be good people. We're saying just follow Jesus. What's a habit? What do you do to follow this Son of God who's given everything and has done all the work and has all the victory, but you got to follow him to it, because where you think the victory is and how you think to get there is not the real way to get there. He knows how to get there. You've got to follow him. And you've got to have this basic conviction that God knows how to take me where I don't know, where I want to go, where I know in my heart I should go, but I don't know how to get there. Whether as a spouse, as a parent, as a professional, as a social justice seeker, whatever that looks like, we've got to follow him. And so we're on this second habit, which is learning to listen. You know, hey, Sean, go this way. If I'm not listening, I'm certainly not going to follow where he is. So I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 4, and I'm going to read about the first four verses, and this is about Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness. And I just want to set the stage there, and then we're going to go over to Matthew 7. Matthew 7 will be on the screen, but just listen to Matthew chapter 4 now. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said to him, now listen, he's going to attack Jesus' identity. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, and these next three words are so important. Jesus answered, it is written. Not how I feel, what I think, what it looks like. In this moment, what I depend on, what my foundation is what's written in God's word. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Hopefully you're familiar with the next two temptations and Jesus' victory. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus finishes teaching so many incredible truths, and he says this. Matthew 7, starting at verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and beat repeatedly against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the same winds blew, and beat continuously against that house, and it fell with a great crash. It is not how you start. It's how you finish. We live in a world, and our sinful nature and the spirit of this world is so obsessed with how it looks. How do I compare? Am I winning right now? Does it look like? We're so concerned with that. And yet, Jesus is always talking about, here is the finish. You got to finish well. 2 weeks ago, we were all talking about the Super Bowl. We were wondering who was going to win. And old man Tom taught us a few things, right? Little Tom Brady action there. Well, you know, When that season began, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, five games in, were 3 wins and 2 losses. There were four other undefeated teams, and there are actually 10 teams with a better record than them. But at the end of the Super Bowl, who you want to be? Old man Tom there, after the end of 3 games, had 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and a QB rating of 91. His fellow Super Bowl competitor, Patrick Mahomes, had 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and 115 QB rating. Who you want to be at the end of the Super Bowl? It's not how you start. It's how you finish. Jesus, when he goes into the wilderness, he starts hungry and tempted and uncomfortable and not easy, and he finishes with victory and authority, and he goes to the world to give what he's got. Jesus, in Matthew 26, starts at the cross, beaten and bruised, mocked and ridiculed, shamed. And by Matthew 28, he's in power. All authority has been given him under heaven and earth, and now he's telling us to go make disciples. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And that is the call of this passage in Matthew 7. We're supposed to compare these two guys, right? Both of them want to build a house. In the Bible, a house can refer to a person's personal life. You are the house or the temple of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, a house can refer to a family, the house and the line of David. Or a house can actually refer to a community or a whole nation, like the house of Israel. You see, there are two people here. They're trying to build a life. They're trying to build a family. They're trying to build a community, and here's what we see. Both of them succeed. Both of them build a house. Both of them get what they want and get to where they want to get to. And while they're doing it, both of them are hearing the words of Jesus. Unfortunately, both of them are also experiencing the wind and the not the if of storms. I think we know a little bit about storms these last few weeks, right? That keep coming, and come a little bit more, and then when you're really done, they come again. They beat on us. All these two people are exactly the same in so many ways, except one of them finishes well, and the other one watches everything he succeeded at and worked for fall with a great crash. Been there? Seen that? There's only one difference here. The only difference is the foundation. You see, your foundation determines your finish. Your flash may start you off well. Your friends may make it look pretty good and help along the way, but I'm telling you what, it's your foundation that determines your finish. And I've seen this in marriages. I've seen this in families. I've seen this in careers. I've seen this, I've seen it in finances. Your foundation determines how you finish. We live in a world that says, no, the reason I didn't finish well is because of that person or this circumstance. The Bible says you're more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. Your finish is already done. The issue is it your foundation? Your foundation determines your finish in your personal life, in your family, and in a community. It's very popular in community talk about, oh, well, what do we all believe and what do we think? That's great. But the foundation isn't what you hear. The foundation is what you do, right? I mean, isn't that what Jesus is saying? Is the only person who finishes well is the one who puts into practice what I've said. It's not what you hear. It's not the information you know. It's not information. It's obedience that determines your finish. Now, I don't know where you are right now. I don't know if you feel like you finished really good. I don't know if you're kind of like both men. It's like, I'm getting what I want. It's happening. I'm telling you what, you can get what you want and still not finish well. I don't know. Maybe you're feeling like, yeah, I'm feeling it right now. This does not look like it's going to end well for me. Well, here's the good news. You can finish well if you'll stop hearing Jesus and start listening to Jesus. Big difference between those two, right? Come on, parents. You know what this is about, right? With your kids, like, clean your room. Clean your room. Clean your room. They're hearing me. Are they listening to me? Maybe not. Don't put that up your nose. Kids, right? Man, sometimes my parents, they hear me, but they ain't listening to me. Dad, that wasn't funny the first 15 times you said that. Okay, let's stop using that joke. Okay? There's a difference between hearing and listening. That's the same with Jesus. Jesus, again and again, is saying this. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Anybody can hear Jesus. But listening is how we follow and how we finish well. You and I live in a society and in a Christian culture. It's all about like, man, isn't that dude a great preacher? Oh, I heard this one online. That person there, like we're super obsessed about hearing great teaching. And great teaching is a good thing. It doesn't mean anything if we're not listening to it. We got to be doing it, not just hearing it. There are really three keys to listening to Jesus. One, you got to know God's word. Two, you got to live it out each day. And three, and here's where a lot of Christians who have been a Christian for a while, this is the magic piece. You need the right feedback. Right? If you want to listen to Jesus, you got to know God's word. You got to live it out each day. This is just what we're going to talk, what we're going to finish up with. And you've got to get the right feedback in your life. All right? So, first of all, you can't do what you don't know, right? So we got to know God's word. Jesus said, look, I'm living on this thing. I've got to know it. And that's why we give ourselves to the word of God. And I want to tell you, you've got to go through a mind attitude change of, oh, that's something that applies to Sunday, or that's really, it's like, no, you got to be like, God, man, only you know how to take me through this day. Only you. Help me. Help me to begin to listen. That's why what we're doing is we are in the Word of God three times a day during Lent. 40 days of prayer. I don't want to hear the Word. I want to walk through my mind. I'm going to follow Jesus according to that Word the morning. I'm going to hear a little bit more Word. I'm going to pray through a little bit. I'm going to hear it at night. I'm telling you what, how you finish a day usually determines a lot about tomorrow. All right? This is so important. I want to encourage you, jump on one of these prayer times. Let it break your rhythm. Let it be like, oh, what? Now I'm going to talk about the Bible. Let it mess with your head. Let it be a psalm that has nothing to do with how you're feeling or what you're thinking about. That's a good thing. That helps you understand how to listen and not just hear. I had a friend of mine who was bought a new house. And he bought it. It was kind of like he had more money, but he bought it because like, oh man, I'm gonna fix it up and I'm gonna add to it. So he started in the beginning, just picks it up, saw a few cracks in the wall, kind of, you know, took care of it and everything, and started working some other things before he wanted to do what he was originally buying the house for. I want to like add on to it. I want to do all these new things. Well, about a month in, those cracks he patched up all showed back up again. I'm still fixing this over here. Let me get some guy in. And I say, hey, can you patch it? Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. Patch it up, paints it. Well, a month later, same thing, right? Especially this one room. There's that crack. The guy's like, calls him back up, like, dude, you didn't even do your job. Like, he goes, oh, yeah, no problem. Patch it up and everything. 3 months later, that crack shows up again with all his brothers and sisters this time, right? The guy's like, man, I got to get someone who knows what they're doing. So he calls up this one guy, this older guy, walks in, doesn't say anything, looks out a little bit. Said, can you patch that up and paint it? He's like, nope. What do you mean no? I mean, aren't you a painter? And he's like, oh, yeah I am. Well, can't you? Nope, can't do that. What do you mean can't do that? I mean, you're a painter. It's like, dude, you know, this is what he said. You don't got a crack problem, you got a foundation problem. You patch that up all you want. It's just showing up again. Your problem is your foundation's bad. It's moving on you. If you don't address the foundation, here's what he said. If you don't address the foundation, you're going to spend the rest of your life repairing what you already have. Ooh. If you don't fix the foundation, you're going to spend the rest of your life repairing what you already have. Whoa. Because that foundation determines everything else. You're not moving on to taking new ground and building new things and seeing new results. You're never going to get there. Now, if that foundation's wrong, you're going to spend all that you are fixing what you already have. Wow, great word. Well, you know, I just wish my marriage with this and that. It's like, yeah, we see the cracks. Work on the foundation. Well, I need to fix them. No. You work. How are you doing living out the word of God in your life? Well, let's not talk about me. No. Let's talk about, what are you doing to put the word of God in action in your own life? What about my family? What about this community? What are you doing? Let's work on the foundation before we just keep patching up the same old thing. All right? That's why we're doing this. And if you notice in Matthew 4, what does Satan always go after? Where is he trying to put the cracks in? Where is he trying to change the foundation? In your identity. If you are the Son of God, if you are a Christian, you never do that. Satan's always attacking the basis. And when you don't love the Word of God, and when you don't take time to know it, you don't know what God said. When you're going through life and say, it is written, this is who I am. When you can't say that, Satan's going to write your story for you. You either know what's written or he writes it for you. You got to know what's written. It's not a game, everybody. It's not a game. It's called your life, and it matters. And we've got to get seriously about knowing the Word of God. Of course, we got to just not know it. We got to live it out each day. Right? If we're not reading, there's no way we're following God. There's no way we're following well, and we're certainly not going to finish well. But we got to just read it. We got to live it out. I love it. Jesus was doing some great preaching, man. Everybody was loving it. And some woman just couldn't help but saying, oh, man, I love what I'm hearing. Blessed are you. Blessed are the mother who gave birth to you, man. This is awesome. What does Jesus say? Yeah, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and then obey it. Come on, everybody. Transformation is not that far away. You are one step of obedience from life change. That's it. That's all it is. So Lord, where's that place of how I can forward? But there's this problem. There's all these things we say in our head and they sound good, but they're actually sabotaging our foundation, right? All right. First of all, God, I totally will do that, but first I have to. Yeah. Welcome to a life of constantly patching up the cracks. Constant repairing what you already got. That's all that happens there. I will, but first. I think Jesus had a few things to say about that. How about this one? God, I can't because that other person is. God's up there like, oh, you're right. I didn't realize they were there. Yeah. It's called actually being a victim. How about this one? Well, yeah, I totally gonna do it. It just doesn't matter when. I mean, this week, next month. What did Jesus say looking at Jerusalem? If you knew the time that I was coming to you. Like, it's right now. Like, there are things that are simple, that are basic. It's not like some rocket science moment with God. He's like, it's important you do it now. Right now. Because there's some things you can plant seeds any day of the year, there's only certain seasons that when you plant them, they're going to grow. Sometimes it's important now. Don't wait. It's important to do it now. I want to encourage you, if you've got some courage to you, if you'd like to not live a boring life, start praying this prayer every day. Lord, today, your will, your way, your timing. Man, try that one. Try praying that prayer in a day. Whoa. I'm pretty sure this is what Jesus prayed one night in the garden. Like, all right. Now look, all this is so important. It's beautiful. God's doing all these things. We've got to be willing to live it out. We've got to stop looking at everybody else. We've got to start looking at ourselves. How am I living out the word in a fresh way? But here's what I've seen over the years, for many Christians, that's a missing ingredient to a transformed life. the right feedback. Like Jesus told us to love one another. Jesus told us that as we love, serve, pray, bear with one another, that he would do amazing things. This one passage in Matthew, like Peter has this moment where spiritually he totally gets it. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the next thing, Jesus says, that's right, I am. Flesh and blood hasn't shown this to you. It's the Spirit. Peter, you're totally hearing from me right now. It's amazing. And then Jesus says, and Peter, you're so right. And what's going to happen now is the Son of Man's going to be betrayed and given over to the hands of the Pharisees and be crucified. And Peter turns from hearing in his spirit to all be like, are you kidding me? That's never going to happen to you, Jesus. There's no way. And Jesus says, oop, blind spot. I'm starting this mentor program where I'm working some of these things out in this kind of cool, fresh way. And the guy who leads it says, every person's got blind spots, deaf spots, and dumb spots. It's just what you got. It's welcome to it, all right? And there's this thing for you and I. Like, it's beautiful that we're hearing the Word of God. It's beautiful that we're living out. But you know this kind of accelerator, if I would, of the transformation process for you is the feedback. Like, you're not by yourself. You're in this thing called the body of Christ. And you need feedback. Because there's this thing, the Word likes to call, use this term, confirmation bias. Anybody know what that means? Confirmation bias? I don't want to know what it means. Well, then you don't, okay? Because confirmation bias says that whatever I want to find, I find. Whatever I want to believe, oh yeah, there it is. We don't see the world the way it is. We see the world the way we are. We've got this confirmation bias. Now, guess what? As you're loving the Lord and as you're starting to grow in him, you can actually have confirmation bias in the Word too. You can just find the stuff you want and ignore all the stuff that's not important to you. Guess how your transformation process is going to go if you do that? So here's this idea that I want to give it to you, and this is going to be a big idea. I'm telling you what, I'm not talking about temporary patching up the cracks in the wall. I'm talking about foundation work right now, finishing well in life. You want to finish well? Gather certain relationships around you for the right feedback in your life. Oh, my word, you're not going to be the same person. It's going to be so good. Here's the deal. Look at this right here. God's always speaking to us. He's always talking. He's always talking to us. And we're called to live it out. But we tend to have certain confirmation biases the way we live it out. But if we'll put the right relationships around us, now these are all Jesus-centered relationships, okay? And we're not saying anybody on this list is perfect. Sometimes, because they're struggling to know Jesus, it's affecting we know a certain truth. Now to live it out for our spouse, that means we've got to live it out a certain way. It doesn't matter that everybody loves us doing this. Here's our spouse. Here's what they need in the Word of God and how to do it. So there's this way when we get the right feedback around us, we grow as Christians. We get transformed. We don't just keep affirming what we already like, our own spiritual personality and gifts. It's like, no, we start seeing way bigger than this. So God's always speaking. We're reading his word every day. But if I really want to hone in on exactly how to live it out, I've got to recognize that I need God's feedback through my spouse, my children. This is the circle of family. For some of us as singles, maybe this is depending on where your life stage is. Maybe this is your parents and your extended family. All right? There's this circle of family that I need to listen to. There's this circle of Christian leadership. Now, these aren't professional titles. This is the idea someone in my life helps me understand where I've been and how I tend, how my family of origin has kind of shaped me a certain way and why I always go this way whenever I hear that. There's some reasons for that. And this doesn't have to be a professor. This could be a great small group leader who, again, we're not asking anybody to fix us. We're just asking for feedback. Help us to see a little bit. A coach is kind of helping us to get from where we are to the victory that's ahead. We all need someone, whether it's a parent, whether you're a parent and you need a parent who's been there a little further than you've been and say, how do I do this the right way? Whether it's in your career as a Christian, whether it's in ministry. I've got this right now. It's part of what I've signed up for. I've got this too. I met the guy who's going to do my monthly counseling in this program. And he's like, just tell it to you straight. I was listening to him talk. He was giving this little presentation. I talked to him at the end. I said, yeah. I asked him a few questions to kind of vet him a little bit. I was like, I'll sign up. I want to do my monthly counseling with you. I want to like get that person who's always kind of helping me see, am I seeing right, stuff like that. He said, yeah. I said, well, great. It's been nice to meet you. I said, yeah, I don't know if I'd say it was nice to meet you. I think it's good that I met you. I don't know, it's going to be nice. It might not be a nice experience, but it might be a very good experience. All right? I've got to have that person in my life. And then I need these are, again, Jesus-centered. I need these other two types of people in my life. I need mirrors. I need people who are pretty much like me, focused. I mean, it doesn't take too much to kind of get on the same page with them. I need those people who can kind of sometimes show me, hey, Sean, you know, this is usually a good friend. They're just like, yeah, right. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I think your attitude's a little out of whack on this. You're like, I just need a mirror. Someone show me where I'm at. And here's what I need too. I need some magnets. I need some polar opposites in my life, right? Because that's all the only way magnets work. I need someone who just does not see it the way I see it. Now they're Christians and they're Christ-centered, but I just need them to be like, ah, that's true. I didn't think about that. I mean, what about all those people? That's a good point. Like, that's what I need. Now, again, this is talking about finishing well. This is part of building a life that finishes well. We're not talking about chucking some spackle on a few circumstances and being done. We're just talking about kind of some life goals here of putting around me the right relationships that give me the right feedback. You know, when Sarah and I, when we were praying about adoption and we were doing international adoption and we're thinking Ethiopia, you know, we're like, oh, man, I think that's where God's got us to just, our son's there. It's there. He's there. I don't know. Like, I'm praying about it, and I'm, you know, and I was going through this list of people. I mean, you know, obviously my wife, and really she was the one who kind of started out. She's the one who had the heart for it the whole time, and I had grown a little bit and starting to pay attention to what the Lord was saying through her more. So good. And then we were talking about we're talking to our kids about it, and part of the process had some really sweet moments. Little Melody is 8 years old, and we're putting up the Christmas tree, and we've been talking about the adoption, and, you know, and she's crying in the corner while we're putting up our ornaments. We're like, what's the matter? She's like, I just thought there's some kid out there who can't do this with their family right now. We need to bring them into our family. Like, then we're like, all right, that was a total killjoy, the putting up the tree. It was like, sad. It was good. But it's like, yeah, I paid attention, right? And then, you know, I definitely had Pastor Wade, for the I mean, he was definitely the guy, like, all right, how am I seeing this? Because I've grown up in poverty, and, like, that's a big financial kind of scares to death. Yeah, I'm just scared to death about that idea. And then, pop. Okay. And then I, obviously, adoption, we had some coaching people. Here's the deal. Here's the interesting. Had some people that showed me here. Here's a really humble, vulnerable moment for us. I went to some of our African-American families. I'm like, what do you think about what it means for us to have a son who's not the same original culture, and like, what do we learn? And it wasn't because they weren't like us in a ton of ways, but they had a different cultural experience, and I needed that insight. Like, okay, how do we? I got no idea how to do hair. I mean, obviously, this hair is not my thing. Okay, you know, and it's like, what's gonna? And you know, it was so beautiful. The more we just kept coming to the Lord, and we're just staying in his word, and the more we're talking, it's like God just narrowed it down. It's like, bam, right there. And I'm telling you what, I mean, just wouldn't want to know my life without Caleb and Ethiopia, and like the transformation's amazing. But this is what helps me finish well in the process when I'm starting to go side by side, when I'm starting to put my inclination. I'll give you one. You know one that I've used this a ton with? People with the grief they're experiencing over politics and social issues. Because, like, I love their zeal, but I could tell they're a little out of balance with, like, just, and, you know, I tell them, I say, oh, that's great. So you're really, like, so you're getting on this and that. What's your spouse think about how your marriage is right now? Done. That's all I need to know about how you're handling your social issue. Well, it kind of says I'm never there, and I'm always watched, and I'm not there in the room, and actually we don't you know, we're kind of snapping at each other. Oh, pretty good idea. It's pretty good. There you go. Hone in that word on social justice to how your spouse and your kids are doing. Ooh, real big change real quick. Real big change real quick. I want to encourage you. This is finishing well. Building these kind of people in your life. These are people all I've got in my life. I'm like, okay, how do I do that better? Come on, coach, help me out a little bit. All right, now, so here's your challenge for this week. I want you to find one of these people in your life and ask them, hey, how do you think I could either, like, the person involved, how could I be loving you better? What could I do to, like, have a better relationship with you? Ask them for some feedback. Or like, hey, I'm dealing with da-da-da. What do you think about this week? I want you to ask for some feedback from somebody. Let the Lord do it. Kind of like, how's it going? And try to, you know, and again, if you can ask more than one type of person, one kind of interesting mistake, and I don't mean this as in I'm super blessed to be your pastor, but some Christians tend to put the pastor and do this. Well, I'm definitely not your spouse, so that's there. But what I'm saying is, like, you should have a team of people that you go to here or there. It's not going to be every day, every week. We should kind of build this. This is what, when church is working right, this is what you got. This is really dynamic in church. Very interesting. When you don't want this, church tends not to work well for you. Or you do something pretty interesting with it. But when you want this, oh man, welcome to Pentecost. Welcome to richness. Welcome to, like, wow, I always dreamed about that. I mean, we're up here this morning and we're singing in Spanish and the team's amazing. And I'm looking at, you know, I'm going around. And I always, at least at one point, kind of go around and just pray by name for each one of you. So I'm, like, praying for you as I'm getting ready to speak. And I'm thinking, this is unbelievable. But it took all of these for me to follow the Lord to it. And that's for you too. So this week, who are you going to ask for some feedback? Who are you going to ask? And then you got to follow through on it, right? Hey, I've been thinking. And again, try to center it not on, like, hey, what's one thing you don't like about it? Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm like, hey, is there something I could do? I mean, obviously for spouse, because, like, what's one thing I can do to just to be a better dad, a better spouse? Like, what could I do to be better at that for you? Get some feedback. Oh, man. Now, I know sometimes we worry about, like, well, that's going to open up flights. It's like, oh, man, just in the spirit of the Lord, just loving, just ask for that feedback. And I'm telling you, if you're in a place where you're not sure, if you're kind of spinning your wheels, if you're spending a ton of time patching up the cracks but never getting on to building on the add-on, I'd go hunting. I'd start going hunting here. Because I'm telling you, wherever you are in your life, you are not finished. You got way more to go. You got way more to go. And God's word's amazing. If you'll begin to just value it and say, every day I want to do something because I heard from God. I want to do something a little different than I've done. You begin to bring that feedback into your life. Oh, it's going to be so good. So good. God's so good. All right. Well, I think I'm about done. And I hope you're hearing today. This is a finish well message. This is something to work towards in your life. Maybe some of you right now, I mean, maybe your prayer is, God, I don't have these people in my life. How do I start? Well, the good news is you got a church. Great small group can put one of these pieces in there. But I want to encourage you, begin to let the Lord bring these people into your life. I just want to say real quick, give honor where honor is due. I mean, our elders, wow. Like, we got a few of them in the room. Just, man, top of the line people in these areas. Our staff. I was thinking about our deacons today. All they do, our board. Just grateful for the leadership of our church. So I want you to stand, and let's just ask the Lord. Okay, you've heard. Now the question is, do, right? Are we going to put into practice? So God never says, Jesus never says put into practice in our own strength. It's always about inviting the Holy Spirit to lead us. So I'm just going to ask you right now, would you and everybody online, would you just bow your heart and just open up your mind right now. Open up your heart. Lord, I pray. I'm going to pray right now. I pray every person in this room would hear the word of the Lord and the encouragement of God through their spouse. I pray they would have fresh eyes to see their children. Lord, I pray that you would bless them with that counseling friendship in their life, someone who could speak to them about the places that are hard. Use pastors, small group leaders, friends. Lord, I pray for coaches, as dads, as moms. I pray for coaches as husbands and wives. I pray for coaches at work and career, and especially ministry, using our gifts. Lord, I pray for everybody here some good mirrors. Some good mirrors that remind them what they're looking like. And I pray for some magnets, just some polar opposites to be the key to unlock more life than they even know they can have. And we give you glory and honor that you are all these things to us, and you use people to speak to us in all these areas. And I just pray that people would finish well. Not in their own strength, not in their own wisdom, but because they've learned the habit of listening and following. And may they have the joy of helping someone else follow you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Well, it's been so good to be with you. I hope you chew on this word. I hope you get some feedback. And we're going to ask the ushers, if they would, to let you out kind of from the back to the front. And may the Lord bless you. Let's continue in the 40 days of prayer, and I'll see you soon. God bless you as you go.
Shaking, no hug.
Love it. Thank you. How are you doing?